The thing I think that young people need to understand is that it's not simply close contact, it's not simply being in a pub or at a party where you're close to people. I think we have to be really honest about sharing bongs, sharing joints, sharing cigarettes. You're actually putting your mouth in contact with someone else's mouth that may have COVID in their mouth. And that's where the virus lives if people are positive, and it's shared by close contact. So typically we think about sneezing and coughing, but if you're sharing a bong, then you've got to be really careful that in fact you're not sharing COVID as well. And I think we need to get down to some practical advice around that sort of thing, to let people know that this is how viruses like this spread in the community, and we've got to be really, really vigilant. Otherwise, it will come down to our community, and then the more vulnerable run the risk of you know, having a very, very difficult time in hospital.
How are health workers standing up at the moment?
Oh, look, we are just blessed with the best health workers here. They've all gone through the bushfires, not only treating people, but also having to deal with bushfires in their own homes and their properties being at risk. So we're very mindful to look after them. We're certainly getting people, doctors and nurses who've recently retired or may have been just doing other work in the community, coming back to help us. We are planning for probably, once we start to get lots of inpatients, about a quarter of our staff will be off and unwell, and so we'll need more than we normally do, and we're planning for that, and we have good support for that. But our greatest resource is our staff, and so we'll be doing everything we can to look after them. That's why, at the moment, if any of them have an upper respiratory tract infection, you know, they're sent straight home so that they can get well, and then be able to come back to work well, and we've certainly been very supportive of staff who've needed to do that, and that's in place here and all the other hospitals in New South Wales.
Everybody's been watching with some horror the growth of the infections in Australia. What do you think it's likely to mean for Yorra-Bedalla and Bega Valley Shires?
Look, we're going to be no different than many places, but we're certainly not at the risk of the large metropolitan centres where people live in much closer proximity. There are more overseas visitors, there are more tourists, although the number of those will decrease substantially pretty soon. So we have an opportunity that we live in a place where there is open space. You're not fighting to walk down a street as you might be doing in New York or somewhere. So to that extent, we're naturally more fortunate. But as I said, if people continue to have close contact, it can spread and will start to spread. All I can say to your listeners is that we're ready and able to care for people when that occurs, and we'll do that the very best way that we can.
And we've got up to 10 ICU beds at Bega and capacity to look after the critically ill in the Yorra-Bedalla, haven't we?
We have. We're very lucky. We have a large, a beautifully built hospital. We have 10 intensive care rooms. Now, not all of those have ventilators in them at the moment, but certainly we have a number of them. We have 6 that are able to be used. We don't normally use that many at any one time. We typically only have one person on a ventilator at any one time. So we have the space for that. We are getting more equipment for that, and we are training more staff for that, so that when they have to look after someone on a ventilator, they're skilled in to be able to do that. We've also got other areas in the hospital that could become intensive care units, so by stopping all but emergency and Category 1 surgery, you know, every operating room has an anaesthetic machine which can run as a ventilator, so our operating theatre rooms could become intensive care beds as well, and we're certainly looking at other areas, perhaps in the recovery room of the operating theatre, where we could care for people in that one-to-one, you know, high dependency intensive care situation. So we're really planning and looking, and we have a sense at the hospital of how that would happen, where that would go. We're looking to open up a ward on the lower ground floor that was always built, but has not been used because we've not needed those beds. So we'll be able to bring in 28 extra beds, probably to look after people who would still have the same problems, like they may have had a stroke or heart failure or have had a heart attack. So they'll be nursed in an area that's not with COVID patients. So we're really looking at everything that we have in the hospital, where things can be done, but we're doing it in anticipation of lots of patients, but not with the stress of lots of patients. So there's a lot of planning so that it will hopefully be a smooth transition as we start to look after, as will inevitably come, patients who are unwell with the COVID
virus. Yeah, and when will we get those extra ventilators?
Look, they're on order. Funnily enough, the world needs extra ventilators. So they'll certainly come. I know New South Wales Health have put in an order for that.
How many did you say we're getting?
At the moment, we're getting two extra, but that may change.
Okay. And there's also been concern. Okay, sorry. And there's also concern, we've got that relationship with Canberra Hospital. There's also been concern that perhaps there won't even be enough choppers to get people to Canberra Hospital if need. Is that something you've also looked at?
So I'm aware that the Australian Defence Forces have been brought into the team, and one of the things we've suggested when asked what they could possibly do would be to provide transport. Because you're absolutely right, the retrieval services will be busy just moving people to and from hospitals, so it may be that we have patients who are here that need intensive care, get better and then need lower level care. They may go home to the Yirrabadalla and they need to get there. So we would certainly see a role for the Defence Forces in be able to provide transport and nursing staff and medical staff to move patients around. Mm. I think will be, as we saw in the fires, an enormously beneficial beneficial to the community and a great role
Absolutely.
For the ADF to do.
And so that catchment for the South East Regional Hospital, just to clarify, that includes the Yirrabadalla at the moment?
Well, at the moment, that's probably likely. The two places that have intensive care units in the district are Goulburn and us. Certainly the Yirrabadalla are planning to care for patients if they suddenly become unwell, and we're certainly starting to have those conversations about where they would go.
So they'll have three choices, perhaps in the first instance, Goulburn, Canberra and Bega.
Yes, I suspect there'll probably be some sort of centralised placement of patients. So that's right. They'll certainly be cared for, or they'll come down to us with an intensive care unit. So that's all. I mean, it's hard to be absolutely black and white about all of this, but we're certainly planning on what that would look like, how that would happen, as I said, so we're not sort of making it up as we go along.